Hey, y'all, and welcome back to the Sexual Healing Podcast, where we two black gay men in our 40s, living on the not-so-sunny western coast of the United States, talk about life.
Yeah.
It has been rain, and apparently there's more coming. By the time you guys hear this episode, we will be about a day into the next rainstorm, but we need it. It's dry as hell over here. But I am one of your hosts, Dr. Pookie, and always holding it down.
Yeah, Dark Boy is right here.
Yes, he is. So how are you doing this week, Dark Boy?
I'm doing good. Always busy, tired, but, you know, I still got to do what I got to do. The craziest thing, I had a laugh at the reactions to Tumblr announcing they're going to take off all the porn. So that to me, that's funny, but people's reactions. So that gave me a laugh this week.
Well,
other than that, it's been pretty quiet.
Okay. Well, I mean, the sad reality is when they follow through on that, you and I might have between us maybe 10 public Tumblrs available. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yes.
You know, I don't get why they're doing it, but it's their company. And so the market will decide.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
So how you doing?
I am, you know, overall, I am well. I am still dealing with these severe allergies, and it doesn't matter the climate I'm in. I'm just screwed. When I was talking to someone, I realized I am taking 4 different allergy medications every day and doing the sinus rinse, and I still, you know, cannot get the shit okay. So it's like, it's crazy.
It's just that time of the year, probably, I guess, right?
Well, but it's year-round for me. It's not just, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, so other than that, I'm doing well, though. I am happy. I am working on wisdom, and I am striving for wealthy. So happy, wealthy, and wise is what I'm going for. So, yeah, I'm good. No major complaints, okay. You know. Still recovering from the trip back east a little bit and trying to get our house together. We just have not had time to really unpack and move stuff back around. And, yeah, still shit everywhere. But we'll get to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Our goal is to get it done by Christmas Eve. Like, we don't want to have Christmas Day fucked up with all this stuff everywhere, so...
Yeah. With stuff all piled up all over, right?
Basically, yeah. Cause I'm,
assuming that's how it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm staring at one pile. Well, I won't call it a pile. I will call it a tower of boxes that is actually taller than me. And it's next to my desk, and I'm just like, Lord, please don't let me have an earthquake, because I'm going to get killed. yeah, so in its time, it'll happen.
But
I think given the flow of today's show, we're going to jump on into our blacklist, and I believe this week it is Dark Boy's turn.
Yes. So for those that don't know, our blacklist is our top three or bottom three, however you want to look at it, of things we love or hate, and we always list it like in a 3-2-1, so one obviously being the number one. So it's my turn this week to do the blacklist, and so mine, I decided there's so many people that we keep hearing about in that celebrities or reality stars that I don't want to keep hearing about. So I thought, let me do one about people, celebrities or whoever, that I do want to hear more about in 2019. So I thought let me do it in a positive way.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, my number three is a person you have introduced me to.
Oh.
Yes. Well, not in person, but her name is Janelle Monáe.
Oh, yes. Cindy Mayweather. Yes. All right.
Yes. I know she had a CD came out that or album that came out earlier this year. Now, I didn't get it. I didn't have it. So, I'm hoping that there's still more because I've missed... seeing her in concert. I think we were trying to go, but we never went.
I missed her. I was going to go, and it just did not work out because I was going to take the train up there and, you know, and just walk from, because the Hollywood Bowl is like basically not that far from the train station. So I wasn't even going to deal with the shuttle thing. It was taking $3 to get up there. But it just did not work out that night. Although a mutual friend of ours did go, and he actually liked her. He had never heard of her before.
Yeah, I think in my mind, I thought you were there too at the same time.
No, I was devastated that I could not be there, but life had other plans for me that day. But her new album, though, you can hear it on Spotify.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe she will go on a tour to support this album or something. Hopefully, and hopefully, you know, we both have a chance to go actually see her live instead of just, you know,
it's
listening to the music, but actually seeing her performing it. Yes.
Yeah, because she's already been here with this album. The most recent one.
So
she was at the Greek. Yeah. But she'll be around, because I think she's only released two singles, so she'll be around.
Well, still want to see her in movies or something, because she was in Moonlight, and then she was in, I can't remember, the movie about NASA, Hidden Figures. She was in that one. So
she's also in a new TV series on Netflix. I want to say either Netflix or Amazon. She plays an extraterrestrial android, which is not all that far from how she's kind of marketed her character. Yeah, from Cindy Mayweather. I keep seeing the preview for it when I'm on flights. Because, you know, JetBlue has their tie-in with Amazon, so I keep seeing it there.
Okay. All right, so that's my number three. My number two is an actress that I actually worked with. Were they in the same movie? Well, anyway, it is Viola Davis.
Oh, yes.
And I meant to go see, now me and the hubby meant to go see Widows, and we just never did it. And so I'm hoping that she's got some more movies. I think it's probably too late to see Widows now, but I'm hoping that she's got some more movies and stuff coming out next year. Because, you know, I like her. I've always liked her. Mm-hmm. And she's one of my favorites. So I want to see more from her.
Now, you guys said you did go see Widows or you didn't?
We did not.
Oh.
So that's what I'm hoping. Like, I'm hoping that she, you know, has got some other stuff coming out. You know, in 2019.
Yeah, Widows is still playing in Lakewood, and I thought it was still playing downtown at the Pike, too.
Oh, I haven't looked. I just assumed that it has been too late, so that we have missed our chance to go see Miss Viola and the others with their, I guess, their crime spree that they've got going on in that movie. But
oh, yeah, it's still playing. It's playing four times today.
Okay. So then, yeah, we might be able to see it then.
Yeah. There were some other things I wanted to see that had already left, so I said, oh, well, damn.
See, sometimes it goes by really fast, so, like, I don't necessarily always keep track of how long, you know, they're being shown, so I assume that this one, we had missed it, so.
Okay.
Apparently not.
Well, yeah, if you guys do want to go see it, particularly tomorrow, let me know. I can meet you guys there, and I actually have a free ticket for myself, so I've been stockpiling. I can use one of them. So, yeah. Okay.
All right. My number one is somebody we've been hearing about these last couple, years, I think, is it's called Colin Kaepernick. I cannot talk this morning.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It seems that he may be doing stuff, and maybe, like, the Widows movie, I'm just not hearing much from him. But it's, to me, I haven't really heard much from him or about him since the Nike commercial came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it made a big splash. Everybody was impressed. Some people hated it, you know, the people who were racist, I guess, but burning up their Nike stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, I really haven't heard anything. And so I'm hoping that, you know, he keeps it up in 2019. So, I think he's waking a lot of people up, so I'm hoping he continues to do that next year.
Yeah, because they had this, I think the, I hate the title, I hate the name of their team, but the NFL franchise in D.C., they had a news story earlier this week saying that they had discussed bringing him in and decided not to because he didn't fit their offensive system. And I just found it hilarious because the guy they did hire instead, who the hell is he? And, you know, somebody said their quarterback situation went from okay to bad to worse to we don't know what to call it. And I just fell out.
Right.
So, but yeah, I think the Nike campaign, stuff like that, it's a flashpoint, but I have a feeling he's still very much out there, probably internationally at this point, though. Because they are a global brand.
But I'm not hearing it. I'm not seeing it. Before, I didn't have to look for it.
Yeah.
I could just, he did this, he said this, or people are mad at him because of this or that. But I haven't heard anything since that commercial, since the Nike commercial came out. Maybe, like I said, you know, maybe it's just me not looking, or the media people are focused on something else, you know.
Yeah, you know, anything's possible because I still have, you know, my ears in the sports world, although I'm still continuing my NFL boycott as a spectator. and really, they're you know, the NFL is garbage. And like, how in the world are you going to have him still without a job? But then you have this guy who whooped this woman's ass, you know, that have been picked up. You know, they weren't even allowed to think they weren't going to get another job. Like, they just got scooped up so quickly, it was ridiculous. And so, it just, you know, but that's white supremacy working at its finest. That is what it looks like. That is, yeah, it's like, you know, it will sacrifice whoever, whenever, to protect itself. So, hey, what else can you do?
Yeah. So that's my blacklist.
Yeah, I'm gonna get off that pulpit. So yeah.
Yeah. So well, that's the blacklist. So next week you come back with yours. So.
And I think I will mirror yours, and I will talk about three celebrities I like to hear more from.
Yeah.
And
that'll be good.
Yeah, it will be. And I mean, you know, there's already some overlap between our lists, though, so I have to give that a bit more deeper thought. But okay.
Yeah.
So this week we wanted to get into a critically important topic once again, although they're all important, whether it's, you know, how to suck a dick, or, you know, how to promote your sexual health with your doctor. And in this case, we want to talk about forgiveness, whether it be of the self or of others. And we came across several resources about this, but we, in terms of programming, we decided to focus on an article by Dr. Wayne Dyer, rest in peace, that talks about how to forgive someone who has hurt you in 15 steps. And I'll put the link to this article in the show notes as well for you. And also, before we dive into this, because we always get discombobulated at the end of the episode, thank you to our recent raters and reviewers. Please keep them coming. Share the show with friends. Even if it's a particular episode that you're like, ooh, my homeboy need to hear this. Or my sister need to hear this because she a mess. You know, whether it's a letter or the topic itself. You know, we appreciate all of you that have shared and that will do so in the future. And so... back on topic here.
Very good. Yes. Yep. Thank you for that.
Yes. Because I always forget. You know, we do get reviews,
yeah,
and then
yeah,
I forget them.
We do.
We do. So how to forgive someone who has hurt you in 15 steps. So we're just going to kind of walk through these 15 steps that Dr. Dyer suggests. I believe we'll go with our usual ping pong style, and I'll start with step one, because I never, of course, talk with Dark Boy about, you know, how we're going to go through these. I just kind of spring it on him, and then he's like, you know, I'm not spontaneous like that. So, step one, Dr. Dyer says to move on to the next act. So basically he's saying here that your past history and all of your hurts are no longer here in your physical reality. So he's saying, you know, you got to evict all the baggage from previous things. You can't allow what this person most recently did to bring up all the stuff from the past. And to really look at it for what it is.
Yeah. And you know, this is, to me, this is... probably one of the hardest steps.
Oh, yeah.
Because especially if it's something recent, then it might be, and depending on how devastating it was, it might be hard to move on to the next, mm-hmm. you know, to the next thing. But
yeah,
I mean, you have to do it though.
You do, and it's difficult. I've had recent experiences with both sides of this as the person who did the hurting and the person who was hurt. And in both instances, the person that got hurt definitely had the current trauma, but it got seriously intermingled with all the past trauma, like all the linkages and all the triggers and all those things. And it's, I think the lesson that I learned from those experiences is sometimes the truth hurts, for starters. I would say as the person that in that unfortunate encounter ended up having to do the hurting, which was not something I desired to do. It was just me being honest. You have to act with integrity, and you have to recognize when things aren't serving your higher self or your best self anymore, or that, you know, allowing space for someone else can be at your detriment, and you can't, that's not a way to live. It's not an effective way of living. And I think in the case where the person was being, you know, brutally honest with me to the point of it being hurtful, again, right is right, wrong is wrong. And, you know, what I wanted in that context was not really in my best interest, but I wanted it anyway. And I got my wig snatched and was left bald, you know, and bleeding. And it didn't feel good at the time, but with some perspective, I was able to, you know, forgive and move on and recognize that even though I tied this moment to all the other things that had happened preceding it, they were totally different. And possibly in all those cases, those things that I wanted were not for me, and I was forcing the issue. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's,
yeah,
it makes sense. I mean, all of us, I think all of us have been hurt, and have hurt other people,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that's, you know.
Yeah, whether through malicious.
That's part of it. I mean, this is part of.
Yeah, because sometimes it is malicious intent. Other times it's just, look, this is the real. Some people need a reality check, and it usually when they do, it doesn't feel good. It just does not, you know. So yeah, but what do they say about step two? Because I know we don't want to get bogged down on any step for too long, because we got 15 of them.
So number two is reconnect to spirit. So basically, making a new agreement with yourself to always stay connected to spirit, even when it seems to be the most difficult thing to do. Although I think number one's the most difficult.
Mm-hmm.
If you do this, you allow whatever degree of perfect harmony that your body was designed for to proliferate. Turn your hearts over to God and allow the spirit to flow through you.
Mm-hmm.
I just think you have to. I mean, I'm not super, super religious or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there just has to be. I mean, this says God, but I think if you just believe in a higher power, I think that could be. That could be your thing right there, could reconnect it to spirit. So
yeah. Well,
yeah, and I mean, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no. I was just going to say I agree. I mean, no matter your theological bent, substitute the words. You know, if you don't do God, then, you know, you could be speaking to your higher self or your human potential. You could be talking about Buddha, Vishnu, you know, whomever. But I think the most important thing is to really kind of step outside of your ego, so to speak. And when they say reconnect to spirit, it's like that intangible part of yourself that allows you to rise above the hurt, the pain, the anger, the resentment. I think that's your spirit that really, it is that part of you. That's not so grounded, you know. I'm doing some reading right now where there's a clear distinction between spirit and soul, and spirit is just kind of like that, it's like that flighty high concept that doesn't always work in facts. It just, you know, whereas the soul is very grounded and it's out foraging for knowledge and it enjoys whatever it comes across, you know. And I think whether it's good or bad, spirit is just like, oh, I have an idea, you know, I'm gonna acknowledge my whims and my whimsy, and you know. But yeah, and that's
so to me, so it sounds like it's more of, I mean, light, not a, do I say lighthearted, is that kind of,
yeah, I'm doing a terrible job with this, but I would say
no, I don't think you are.
Well, no, because I'm still processing it in the context of this book, because it's just really challenging. Like, I've gone back and read this chapter maybe 4 times now, and I'm still like, so spirit is this, and ooh, soul is that, and and then they get into character and integrity. The name of the book is The Light Inside the Dark by John Tarrant, who is a Jungian psychologist and a Zen Buddhist teacher. So he merges those two fields together and shares elements of stories of his clients and also of his students. And it's a very fascinating read, and he does a really good job of weaving all this stuff in with history, and it's really, it's well done, but it can be a little dense at times. And just, I sit there like, can I just get like an annotated version of this book where you define spirit, please? Clearly,
yes.
No literary allusions, no this, no that. Just tell me what is spirit and distinguish it from soul. And so, but I've really, I think going back to your comment, spirit would definitely be the lighthearted part that doesn't get bogged down in the world's anger, pain, sorrows. Spirit is just above it all. And so it allows you to commune with the intangible, is probably a better way to put it.
Yeah, they say it helps you become an instrument of peace, or, you know, mm-hmm. So it's like you're radiating higher energy of love and light. So that's why I'm like, okay, it's you know, a light. I mean, lighthearted may not be the right word for me to say, but that's just what came to mind. So
yeah, because spirit is still a serious business, but it's just, it doesn't get, it's not grounded, I'll put it that way.
Well, you said it, to me, you said it right. We said it doesn't get bogged down or just in the heavier stuff. So I thought, you know, that's...
Yeah, I mean, spirit is basically idea, whereas soul is like, it is reality and consequence. It's a good way to put it. You know, spirit will be like, oh, you know, spirit and soul witness a car crash. Spirit will be like, oh, wow. That was an interesting sound, the way those two things came together. Whereas soul is grieving the fact that two people may have been injured, property has been destroyed, lives have been impacted like a ripple effect. That's what soul is processing. Spirit is like, well, that was interesting. That happened. Okay, moving on. You know, it's just like, and it may, you know, and they do come together. They overlap. But at a certain point, they have to reconnect. And I think when you don't forgive is when your soul totally gets bogged down in just the anger, the resentment, the pain, and your spirit. It's like when they talk about lifting your spirits, you know, it's about lifting up your soul to kind of meet your spirit again. So you can have a way for happiness to creep in to what's going on with you. So I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. But okay.
That makes sense.
Okay, so number three. You know, yes. Step three, really, don't go to sleep angry. Well, you know, as he puts it here, each night as I drift off to sleep, I adamantly refuse to use this precious time to review anything that I do not want to be reinforced in the hours of being immersed in my subconscious mind. So basically the whole idea of, I do like the idea of not going to sleep angry, particularly in a relationship, because at least you've given, hopefully, an authentic and game effort to resolve whatever has you angry. You may not always be thoroughly successful, but at least there's the intention, and hopefully you've given it an authentic effort. I do like the idea of him saying you don't want to bombard your subconscious mind with all this, because that's where all those connections come up, and that's where all that previous trauma and triggers rear their heads.
Yeah, see, like this one, like don't like I'm the type I cannot go to sleep if I'm if I have something like heavy on my mind or I'm really just amped up or revved up or something, I wouldn't be able to go to sleep. I would have to figure it out in my mind before. Otherwise I'd just be laying there. I'd be laying there trying to go to sleep and would not be able to. So. So, I mean, for me, I saw this one. I thought, well, my body won't let me go to sleep angry anyway.
Yeah, it definitely. I mean, if you're trying to go to sleep and you're angry, you know, physiologically, you're all aroused.
I can't.
Yeah. It's, and if you do, when you do finally manage to fall asleep, like hours later, it's going to be awful sleep. It is really bad sleep. It tends to be. I won't say, you know, 100% of the time, but it tends to be really bad sleep. And I think the thing that I'm finding as I'm growing in wisdom and happiness, instead of me, just playing it over in my head again and again, I just try to ask myself, like, what happened and what other choices did I have in my reaction to what happened, whether I was grossly wronged or not. Or whether it, and sometimes I perceive, oh, this is a lot of this shit's in my head. You know, it's just like, it's suggestive of something, and I have made it something concrete. And, you know, I'm slapping myself in the face when nobody touched me. You know, but I'm sitting here like I just got punched, and ain't nobody touched me. So, yeah, what else? I try to question and try to break it down. But I don't know. Step four kind of speaks to that, I believe. I may have jumped the gun a bit.
Yeah. You know. Step four says switch the focus from blaming others to understanding yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And he writes, whenever you're upset over the conduct of others, take the focus off those you're holding responsible for your inner distress. Shift your mental energy to allowing yourself to be with whatever you are feeling. Let the experience be as it may without blaming others for your feelings. Don't blame yourself either. Just allow the experience to unfold and tell yourself that no one has the power to make you uneasy without your consent and that you are unwilling to grant that authority to this person right now. So that's another hard one.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, if you feel like, I mean, you know, this whole thing about forgiveness, and it just made me, you know, think, you know, even last week, I guess, you know, Michelle Obama, you know, she was saying she could never forgive Donald Trump for the whole birther thing that caused a whole lot of problems for, you know, the Obama family. And so even somebody as gracious and, you know, calm and as Michelle Obama says, I can't forgive. So I think that just proves how hard it is to forgive. And it's, to me, it would be hard for her to say, well, to not blame him because he was his birth or movement, comments, whatever you want to say, that kind of started the whole thing rolling. So, but I understand what he's saying, but, you know, it's still hard. It's very hard.
Well, and I think in that case, though, it's a little different because what he was doing was stirring up potential threats to her family. You know, you're talking about a very proud and strong black woman who is a wife and mother. You don't fuck with either of those things. So it's just, and especially I would say for someone like her who is brilliant and very dignified.
Yeah.
But
dignified, that was the word I was looking for.
Yeah, but she's still Southside Chicago Michelle. So she will pull her out when needed. And I think that's who was like, fuck him. I'm not forgiving him for shit. Now, the part of her that is, you know, the companion of a statesman, okay. You know, and I would even say she's a stateswoman, most definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, I just, those memes from that, from the Bush Memorial, whoo, when they were all sitting there in a row, and she was just like, she just had that look on her face like, this motherfucker here. You know, she And Brock was just like, honey.
Like, why did he have to be here?
Yeah. And I mean, just his whole, like, I hadn't really watched any of that. Like, I missed all of it. But I've been seeing some of the clips, like, where he and Melania came in and he had on his overcoat. And he gonna hand it to, like, one, like, to the Marine officer, like, here, valet, take my, you know, it was just like, you know, he just had to make this imperious entry and stuff. And Melania was, you know, she kept it classy. But her husband, oh, God, he just, no. And I, you know, the whole thing with the prayer, I was like, but okay, but see, we done slid off topic. Yeah. I'm sorry. No, that's, yeah.
We do. But that's all right.
Yeah, but I do think that it is hard. Sometimes I just try to think about it as people are going to do what they do. And the decision for us is, how do we respond to it? How much of it do we internalize? Like, one of the first things I ask is, okay, so how much of this is my shit versus their shit?
Well, I think the thing that that becomes hard, I think, with this one,
mm-hmm.
again, well, they're all hard, so I think. That becomes hard, I think, is if the person who, you know, the person that you're blaming is in a position where they keep bringing up stuff, where they're not in a position where they're trying to forgive or they're trying to forget, or they want to keep bringing up stuff from 10, 20, 30 years ago. I think that's where it kind of, this is where it is, you know, it becomes hard, because that person, I mean, I can think of one person who needs this more. I mean, I need it too, but I can think of one person who needs this far more than I do. And that person actually sometimes is the source of most of the drama, the, you know, drama that I have going on, you know?
Ooh.
Yeah. So,
shall we discuss that after we record?
This, oh, yeah.
It's okay. Because now I'm intrigued. I'm like, who specifically are you talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but yeah, so I mean, I just think if that person isn't willing to let things go, or if they are willing to, I don't want to say make things up, but have a severe misinterpretation of what was said or what was done or what your intentions were, then it becomes a problem. I mean, it's just again, I keep sounding like a broken record, but it's just hard, you know.
Yeah, and
but still, even with this one person, I could think of the way I reacted to this person during one of our things. I could have done better.
Oh, you know, okay. So. I think I know who you're talking about now.
Yes.
Just like, who's he talking about? Oh, now I know. Okay. Yeah.
So, you know.
And I think it also dovetails into the next step. You know,
yes,
step five.
Just going to say that.
Yeah, it's like, avoid telling people what to do, which basically also is this whole idea of stop telling or avoid telling people how to react to what you've just said or done. It's like that whole thing of, well, I'm sorry if you felt this way about it. That backhanded apology, which it's easy to say sometimes. You're like, I still don't understand why you upset, but I'm so sorry. You know, versus, bitch, please.
It's not
really
a sincere apology, though.
Yeah, I mean, and it's I think it's difficult to apologize for something that you don't understand is being wrongdoing. That's the thing. You know, that I would struggle with is just, and I don't like to do that. I'm so sorry if you took it this way, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm not sure what I'm apologizing for, but oh, I'm sorry. So,
but I have learned to do this. Like, even if I don't really understand
mm-hmm.
why I don't feel like I've done something wrong, I'll still apologize. So I have this, I think I'm okay with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just this whole idea of, I'm sorry you feel this way, which you can say in so many different ways with tone of voice, where you're like, I still don't know exactly what I said that's wrong, and it is that whole idea of just triggering traumas and all that other stuff, where it's like, oh wow, I am so sorry you're feeling this way. Like, what? I'm sorry. And at that point, it's really going to make it worse to say, no, what exactly? Why are you feeling this way? But yeah, I think sometimes you just have to take people at face value if they have hurt you, and you can't tell them how to experience you either, because if someone wants to consistently experience you in a hurtful way, and that's not your intention, or they, you know, and you're, or people just rub you the wrong way, then it's probably best that you just don't interact with those people anymore.
Yeah.
Because you being your authentic, if you as your authentic self is so offensive or so triggering to them, then you don't need to be in relationship with them, is how I kind of see it.
Now, some of that might tie into the next step, though.
Probably. Well, you know, it is a process, but there's certainly not disconnected steps here. So, yeah, you want to tell them what step six is.
Number six is learn to let go and be like water. So rather than attempting to dominate with your forcefulness, be like water. Flow everywhere. There's an opening. Soften your hard edges by being more tolerant of contrary opinions. Mm-hmm. Interfere less and substitute listening for directing and telling. So,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I think I've done better with this one, because, you know, I, even though I'm a quiet person, I am, if something is an issue, I am outspoken, and I will, people will know how I feel about something. So, I don't know if that's softening the edges or if that's whatever, but I think I'm a little bit better now of listening and not trying to. My husband always says, don't try to come up with the next thing to say before they're finished saying what they had to say. You know what I mean? So I thought, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Which is hard when you're kind of under attack, because I think a lot of times if what we say does not match our intentions, or it's experienced a different way, then there is a natural inclination to kind of defend yourself.
Yes.
But I think also the other difficult side of it is trying to listen to someone's heart, not necessarily what they're saying, but the emotion in the words, behind the words, just below the surface of the words. That can be really challenging, and not everyone has that skill. It's not as easy as it sounds. Because sometimes you have to completely ignore what someone is saying and just listen to how they're saying it. That can be challenging, because you're trying to process the words. And it's also a thing, if someone is really triggered and very emotional, very reactive, then they're probably attributing some stuff to you that's really not pleasant. Where you're just like, that's not me. I've never been called this before. Who the fuck do you think you are? Yeah, and it's like, no. It's just like, what am I hearing here? Okay, despite what's being said, I'm hearing a lot of pain, like some deep shit that couldn't possibly have come from me in this moment. Like, this is some ancestral shit that's popping up, you know, kind of thing. Right. This is some childhood trauma popping up. So this isn't mine, but here I am. I'm in it. So what is my role? My role is to listen and to just try to reflect back what they're feeling, so they understand that they're at least being seen and heard. And sometimes that's all you can do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think certainly just this idea of, I think, of forgiving someone, sometimes them apologizing is not going to be enough. Sometimes you might feel like you need revenge, or you need them to feel the way they made you feel, or the way they led you to feel, or inspired you to feel, or triggered you to feel. You need that.
Triggered sounds like the right word there.
Exactly. You know, you might need the shoe to be on the other foot, and so you can, you know, turn the screw. But the effort involved in that, I think that it's excessive. It's not, I think it's a waste. So you really do kind of have to just say, okay, I'm just going to move like water here. Water finds its way. As we learned with our walls around here, water finds its way. Yeah. So yeah. Okay. So step 7, take responsibility for your part. Basically, removing blame never means never assigning responsibility to anyone else for what you're experiencing. And it means that you're willing to say, quote, I may not understand why I feel this way, why I have this illness, why I've been victimized, or why I have this accident, or why I had this accident, but I'm willing to say without any guilt or resentment that I own it. I live with it, and I'm responsible for having it in my life. End quote. You know, it's not so much about saying I'm responsible for it, but I take responsibility, because, like, the idea of causality, responsibility, and blame are three different concepts. They're very tied together. They're kind of like a balancing act, but they are not the same. And basically, responsibility is just saying, you know what? Whether I caused this or not, or whether I'm to blame for it or not, it's my shit. So what is my part in it? I need to own it. Yeah. When they say own your shit, that's what they're talking about. Take responsibility for it. No matter your intention, good or bad, no matter what you were trying to do, whether it was an accident or not, own your actions. Makes it a lot easier to forgive someone. Because it takes all that power and responsibility away from them. It's not...
Yeah, if you can't even admit that, you know, you may have done something, or then I think it's because to me, if you say, yeah, you know, you're right, I did this, then I think that's kind of disarming right there, you know, and they may let their guard down a little bit just because, okay, because especially if they're not ready for it, if they weren't ready for you to take responsibility and say, yeah, that happened. You know, I should have done it, or I should have done it better, or whatever, or done it differently. I think sometimes that right there could just take some of the, you know, de-escalate it, maybe.
Yeah, and I think also owning, you know, you're taking responsibility, it actually points out to you what your part in all of it was. Because I think a lot of times it's totally easy for us to be victimized by someone else, as opposed to understanding, you know, I had a choice about whether I was going to interact with this person and make myself available for whatever went down between us. And I think that's the thing that we often lose track of. We don't remember that the fact that this person had access to us in the first place was a choice. It was a result of a choice we made. Whether this person, you know, was going to have access or not. And what they did with it is, you know, that's something else. They're responsible for what they did with it, but we're responsible for giving them access to us. So, I don't know. Okay. Yeah.
So number 8. Let go of resentments.
But why? And
I know. Resentment is that's so fun. And that's a tough one for me. Because, like, you know, I mean, if I had to make a blacklist of people that I know personally that I hate, you know what I mean? There are two people that are on top of that list. Ooh. And they're two people that I used to work for.
Oh.
And they were, honestly, to me, they're like the probably the two most horrible people that I think that I have ever, I don't know how they sleep at night with some of the stuff they were doing at the job. I may have mentioned one other time at this particular job, I thought if there's ever a place that I'm at that's going to have a workplace shooting, it's going to be this one. Because of the stuff that they had done to people. And so my reason for having them on the top of my hate list, or whatever you want to call it, is because I was laid off from this job, But the way they did it, I found out afterwards, they did it in such a way that they thought that I was too stupid to figure out what they had done.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, I know business, it happens, whatever. But there were some things that I figured out afterwards, that, and this was set up months in advance. And it was by a guy. It was a man. It's a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
The man had been previously laid off. He felt very... So I was hired after he had come back. And I came in and just knew a lot of the... how to work a lot of the machines that he did. So mm-hmm. I was a threat to him. I didn't know it. I didn't know the history. So he had been gunning to get rid of me for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so he finally was able to do it after 6 years. But they just did it in such a way that... it was like you lose your job, you don't have income. But then on top of it, it's like they did it in a way where they thought, oh, he'll never figure this out. He's too stupid or whatever. And so for that reason, they are, you know, that's why this one. So I still resent them. I do. I mean, right now, I mean, this sounds really bad, but if I saw them get hit by a car, I would keep on going. I would not be calling anybody to help them, you know? And so I still, you know, have to work on step number 8, because I do resent both of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be... Yeah, I mean, I think... for me, you know, keeping it brief, resentment can really seem fun at times, but it is fool's gold. You really... It requires a lot of energy. It requires a lot of your focus to keep that resentment going, because you're rehearsing the trauma over and over again in your head.
Yeah.
And you're no longer engaging with reality. Like, this person has already moved on. So what? Yeah. You just gotta kind of let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I had to tell that, you know. I just had to give my example of why, like, you know, because it still hurts, you know. But I'm letting it hurt, though.
Yeah, because the more you hold on to it through resentment and playing it over in your head and what you should have done and you know what you think was the best way to respond, it just takes you away from now, because that moment is already gone. And
yeah, I can't go back.
Yeah, it's like really the decision you need to make at this time is whether or not you're going to be in relationship with that person again. And
well, no. I don't even see them in. I mean, it's been, you know.
Yeah, I mean, just this idea of like, I mean, what does it say? Resentment is like swallowing poison and expecting it to kill someone else. You know, it's that is resentment.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's. I've heard different things on that theme, and I think the idea is sometimes you have to be vulnerable with yourself and honest and say, "Look, I don't like the way this went down." Resentment is sometimes a self protective thing, because when you hold resentment, then you get to revise the narrative about what really happened. Whether that be, you know, I'm a good person and this person treated me wrong, you know, they victimized me, they bullied me, they triggered me, whatever it is, you still get to be the good person because someone else committed wrong against you. And the reality is you've got to let that go and be willing to, again, take responsibility. And there's nothing else that you need to say to this other person. You can't tell them what to do. You can't fix them. All you can do is work on you. So this idea, and lo and behold, step 9, be kind instead of right.
Yes.
You know, it's like sometimes you just have to be kind, not only with yourself, but with that other person. You don't need to go back and tell them how they did you wrong. I've been caught in that myself on more than one occasion where I'm just like,
well, going back and telling what they did wrong.
Yeah. Or where in my mind, it was like, well, see, this is why this went down and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no, no, no. forgiveness is kindness, not only to them, but also to yourself. And so, you know, as they say here, the world is just the way it is. You know, people are behaving, quote unquote, badly, and they're not always doing what they're supposed to do. But we can actually process it however we choose to. We can have an anger response, we can have one of compassion, or we can have one where like, well, thank you for that experience. I'm gonna decline whatever it is you're trying to give me. You know, it's just because some people do stuff just to piss you off or disrupt your calm. Think about that boss that's an asshole and finds ways to piss you off every chance they get. You can look at that, this latest thing, and it's just another match on the fire that is burning within you that's about to explode. Yeah. Or you can say, you know what, you ain't shit. You ain't worth shit. Or you can smile and be like, oh, okay, well, was that all? When I get to...
But that might get a response, but, you know, not so pleasant response, though.
Yeah, but it's also letting them know, like, I know what you're doing, and you ain't shit. I know it, and you know it. And maybe they don't know it, or they don't want to own it, but it's giving them a bit of a reality check. Because it is an interaction. It's a transaction. It's like, okay, well, was that all? Okay. Well, yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to get back to work here. You know, I got to go. Whatever it is. And yeah, they it's now up to them to take that how they want. Now, it doesn't work with everybody. Cause
no.
the power dynamics can... For example, that reaction would not work with 45 because 45 has no conscience. Just does not really understand, does not own responsibility for anything that he says or does. It's his own reality, and that's the only one that matters. Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, we all have that thing, especially when someone accuses us of incompetence or of being a bad person or whatever. We all feel a need to should be like, no, let me show you who I am, bitch. You know, and we have to resist that urge.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's just so hard.
Yeah, because he even says here, imagine if someone says something that to you that you find offensive, and rather than opting for resentment, you learn to depersonalize what you've just heard and respond with kindness. So it is this idea of killing them with kindness, where you really are just like duck, you know, water off a duck's back. Be like, oh, I know you spoke to me, but you weren't speaking with me. It's like, it really is that fine distinction. Like, well, I know you said that shit to me, but you weren't speaking with me. So, okay, you have a good day. Or, as I've been prone to do now, when people say or do crazy shit, I'm like, oh, that's a lie. I spent an entire flight resenting this guy because I felt like he was mad dogging me. And then when the flight was over, he rolled up on my row. Like, he was a good 8 rows behind me on the flight.
Yeah.
And yet when the flight landed, somehow this man ends up right behind me and taking his bag out of the overhead bin. And I'm sitting here like, this motherfucker here. First, he mad dogging me and acting a fool. Then
he's right up on you.
Yeah, then he rolling all the way up here, got his dick on my shoulder, and then of course the one bag that he needs to move is mine. So when I get up to get my bag, and also to show you how shit can really, the freight train can get rolling, I'm sitting here like, this motherfucker, I know he think he gonna get off this plane before I do. He's mistaken. You in the back row, bitch, you getting out last. You know, like, I was like, you damn sure ain't getting off this plane before me. And you know, and it was interesting because when I got up, I knew he moved my bag, and I was like, don't even start it. Don't start it. Because my whole thing was, if you move my bag to get yours, fine. Put shit back where you found it. That's not what happened. So when I went to get up, you know, because I was just like, okay, my legs hurt, my knees are like, really? So when I went to stand up, who helps me up out the chair but him?
Oh,
And I was like, wait a minute, you fucking up my narrative here. You know, I am resenting you. I am throwing you shade. And how dare you help me to stand up? And then I was like, and I still wouldn't let it go. So I was like, what happened to my bag? I was like, what? Did someone move my bag? And he's like, oh, is it this? I was like, oh, yes, thank you. You know, and he grabbed a bag and he handed it to me. And I was like, well, ain't this about a bitch? You know, right. And like, I think he could kind of sense that I was like, fuck you. So he decided to kill me with kindness.
Yeah, he did.
And I was like, this motherfucker, you know. And yet I was invested in my shade. I was very invested in my shade because it had been a long ass flight. And I was just like, ugh. You know, confinement, it's rough. And so I just say all that to say that stuff is not always what we make it out to be. And I was very gracious. I did thank him. I did check myself. But I was like, oh, he was the villain of the flight in my mind until we landed.
Until then, I said, yes. This,
yeah, I was like, then this bastard, you know, he going to get his act together. He even moved over to allow this young lady who apparently was not feeling well to have that whole row of three seats to herself. He moved across the aisle. Yes. So she could lie down. I was like, damn it. I was like, my shit is fucked up. But okay. Getting back on point. So yep. Again, whether I imagined this whole conflict between us, because I did feel like he was mad dogging me. You know, but he was of Middle Eastern descent, and I think he was just a gentleman with resting bitch face. And I'm probably one of those gentlemen as well with resting bitch face. So we had a resting bitch face contest.
I think most of us have that. If we're not really concentrating or talking to somebody, I think we probably all have that resting bitch face.
Yeah, and I said to my therapist yesterday, like, I don't know how to conquer resting bitch face because I can't be focused on smiling all the fucking time either.
Yes, I mean, if you're not concentrating and thinking about it, then, like, yeah, you're just, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I tell people, like, well, you just look so angry. I was like, when? And you're like, well, I saw you at, you know, at the coffee house and you were looking all. I was like, oh, child, I was thinking about something.
Yeah.
I was like, if I'm processing, yeah, I'm going to look grouchy. I'm sorry. That has nothing to do with you. That is just, I am thinking about something and working through it, and I am giving no fucks at all to my face. Like, of neutrality, of happiness. I'm scrunched up because I'm focused. And they're just like, oh, okay. I was like, yeah, if you see me there, please speak. Don't think because I look crazy. I was like, if I look crazy, I might say to you, I might give you the finger, like, give me one moment. I'm on the verge of something here. Or if I see you coming and I tense up, then I'm working through something. You might want to recognize that and give me a minute. I'll come find you, you know. But yeah, it's like resting. Yeah, it's either resting bitch face or just a brother is working.
Right, he's thinking.
I don't know what to call it. Yeah.
All right, number 10.
Mm-hmm.
Practice giving, which I think this guy on the plane did for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says, in the midst of arguments or disagreements, practice giving rather than taking before you exit. Giving involves leaving the ego behind. While it wants to win and show its superiority by being contrary and disrespectful, your Tao nature wants to be at peace and live in harmony. You can reduce your quarreling time to almost zero if you practice this procedure. So to me, that's what he did. He helped you.
He did.
He helped you. He wasn't, you know, resting bitch face, I guess, didn't really mean anything or may not have meant anything. But he helped you. He must have sensed something from you and then.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just remember in one of the guys in my my Buddhist study group, he mentioned the whole idea of road rage or. Why is this, you know, like somebody makes a crazy turn, a maneuver on the highway. He's like, you get mad, that's all ego.
Yeah. Isn't it because how dare they do that to me? Is it, that's what that...
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, yeah, it's either how, like, why does shit keep happening to me? Because yesterday was an exercise and trying to keep my ego in check, because it took forever and a day to get to my therapist's office. Like, you had intersections closed because folks got T-boned. I kept ending up in a lane behind a person that wanted to drive 10 miles below the speed limit.
They had nowhere to go.
Yeah, I mean, it took me a half hour to get to my appointment. And I said, I'm late. This is some bullshit. Like, I left the house way early. I should not have had this problem. And I was late. And that's what we started with. And, you know, and it's interesting because step 11, I'll convey the other part of what happened before I got to that when we get to step 11. But yeah, I mean, it's like this idea, I had to basically on that airplane with that gentleman, really, because it wasn't just like, and maybe he was single and he wanted a piece, you know, because I know if I'm interested in someone, I my default is to get shady if I don't pay attention. It's like, I'm just like, you think you all that? And I'm like, and you are. It's like, you know, but I'm just like, you know, and I just said, I'm like, that is the total opposite reaction of what you want to display to this person. But okay. Yeah, that's why we're in therapy, I guess, you know. And so, but this man actually, he, and I think part of the reason I was salty with him is because I was attracted to him.
I was thinking that.
That was part of it, I'm so sure. So dysfunctional in that way.
So when his dick was on your shoulder, you really weren't upset about that.
Well, I was actually, I couldn't get past my pettiness to appreciate the penis sitting on my shoulder. I got there. Especially when he helped me get up, he put his hand in very intimate parts of me, like the small of my back. And I said, "Ooh, what are you doing?" it was just like, okay, I'm getting everything I needed from him, including what I could have called him mad dogging, was him actually sending me nonverbal signals like, "Hey, come back here and talk to me."
Oh, see?
You know. But he was a very stern-looking gentleman, you know, of Middle Eastern descent. And I said, well, I ain't going to get into that unless, you know, you flash a testicle at me or something. Then I know. Grab a crotch, something. Then I'm like, hey, how are you? It's like, but
now you guys are dating, right?
No, I know. We aren't. It was like, even though we're flying out of a very specific area across the country, and that's why I ain't got no man now, because I just be fucking up opportunities. There's so many things I can tell you from this trip that were just crazy, but we'll do that off the recording, because you know, we are trying to have something resembling a time limit today. So step 11, were you done with step 10?
I should probably say that.
Okay, yeah. So step 11 is stop looking for occasions to be offended. Okay, so here is my narrative about this week of being offended. I was at Starclux Monday morning, and there was a young lady who was selling candy. She asked the woman across the table from me. She then left the table, and she asked this other woman at the door on her way out. And I sat there, stopped what I was doing, and said, why that bitch didn't ask me if I wanted some damn candy? I was going to tell her ass no, because I'm trying to be a better diabetic, but the bitch could have asked me if I wanted some candy. You know, and I just had a moment. And it was all in my head. And then I said, you know, you tripping. Like, this is absurd. Like, you tripping over somebody not offering to take your money for something that you don't want. Okay. Like, just, this is absurd.
Yeah, for something you didn't even want.
Yes. So yesterday, after negotiating this half-hour drive that should have been 12 minutes, and getting to my appointment late, I'm in the elevator just trying to decompress and just get in the right frame of mind to go into therapy and do my work. because I hadn't seen my therapist in 3 weeks. And so I was like, oh, you know, this is normally a weekly appointment, but the holidays and my travel and his travel, we hadn't met for 3 weeks. So yesterday was 4 weeks,
okay,
you know, since we had sat in the same room with one another. And so it was very important to me that I was centered and focused and ready to go. But instead, I have the drive from hell. And then I'm in the elevator and I'm sitting here like, so I need this thing to not stop at any floors, to just go to the top floor and be all right. So, of course, what happens? I'm flowing, and the elevator stops. And I have, like, my head back and my eyes closed, just breathing. And so, of course, I drop my head down, and I look a little crazy, and there's this woman and her son. And then I look beyond them, and I was like, the wall is the wrong color. What floor are we on? I see we're on the seventh floor. And I'm like, ugh. I was like, they had to stop this bitch. Now, he got candy. Her older son has candy. The other one is, she couldn't have been more than four, you know. And so I did not get an invitation to buy candy. Now, either I probably look crazy as hell in the face, I ain't gonna lie, but I was offended that they did not ask me if I wanted to buy a candy bar. And I was just like, what is it with you fucking candy this week? And just like finding times and opportunities to be offended when I shouldn't be. And I just said, yeah. And I and it was funny because my therapist, like, I recounted this to him, and I continued on with another narrative, and he was like, ho, 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 ho. So can you, going back to the whole candy thing in the elevator, like, what did you want to happen there? Like, he's like, no, how did you feel? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, no. He's like, obviously you felt offended, angered in some way, which you haven't really specified. You just said, you know, they ain't asked me if I want no damn candy. He's like, even though you yourself said you have not bought candy from a school vendor in years. He's like, so this is not something you're going to say yes to, but you're offended that you weren't asked, so you'd have the opportunity to say no. So what were you feeling? And I said, well, I, you know. And he's like, uh-huh, that's what we're going to talk about now. And I just looked at him like, I don't like you. Just like, you know, and he basically did pull out of me that I felt invisible. I felt somehow diminished and unloved. And he was like, unloved, huh? Okay. And he was just like, so let's dig into that. And I was like, do we have to? He's like, of course we do. We have time. We're only 3 minutes into the session. We have time. Just like, ugh. I appreciate him for that because it did open up a lot of things. And he's just, you know, I said, okay, that's how I know I'm getting my money's worth. But I was just like, I don't need you plucking at my wig 5 minutes into the session. But he plucked at my wig and just snatched me bald. Gently. He snatched me gently and he shaved me to get all the stubble. But yeah. So, I don't know. But what are your thoughts on not looking for ways to be offended?
When I saw this, I thought of, I don't know if it was 2 weeks ago where I mentioned about the people who I wanted to slap, that it's the people that are on the stairs or on the escalators staring at their phone, not paying attention, not moving. So,
oh yes.
So now I, you know, part of the reason, I mean, I guess it's hard not to encounter them, but sometimes now I do find myself kind of looking for them. You know, I'm like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Why am I doing that? When I read this, I thought, why am I doing that? I'm looking for a reason to be upset about somebody, and because what I do is I'll just go around them. Now, if there's room, I'll just step, go around them, and then get in front of them, and then keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I thought, why am I doing that? Or I'll get mad at, you know, I'm at the supermarket and we're in an express line, and somebody comes with, you know, 30 items when it says 10 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it made me think of those things where. You know, because sometimes I want to say, well, oh, this is not, you can't be in this line or something like that. And I thought, you know what? It's not for me to take care of. Let other people who work here, let them take care of that. Let me just stay out of it. Let me not create drama. So.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe, you know, somebody, like this article, this part mentions somebody who's sneezing or something like that. Well, especially like somebody who's sneezing or coughing and they're not covering up, they're not like taking precautions to not spread their germs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's still bad. I mean, they shouldn't really be doing that, but.
No, they shouldn't.
But still, I don't want to. I mean, it's happened before where people have done that and I don't get sick, so maybe I don't have to worry about it every time it happens, but still, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's also going back to that thing of resisting the urge to tell people what to do. It's like, you're just like, we got all these damn hand-washing signs up saying, wash your damn hands. And I do find myself having to check myself, like, okay, so look, you know he didn't wash his damn hands. And he just had a handful of dick and probably balls, knowing him. So he gonna touch that you know, that doorknob. So you need to make sure you have your napkin to open the door with and deposit in the trash. You make sure you wash your damn hands, you know.
Yeah, that's what I do.
And it is this whole thing of getting, it's ego. It's still ego where you're just like, why can't they follow the rules like everybody else is following the rules? When in reality, a lot of folks aren't following the rules. I mean, I find folks doing the California roll through stop signs. I'm just like, why the fuck can't you stop? You know, like, at least stop the damn car. You know, it's like, they didn't speed through it, but they never did stop the car either. Or what was it? The express line, you know. It's like, we don't really have any real authority there. We can't do shit. It's up to the cashier to regulate that. But then I found myself a little salty with the cashier when I'm like, why you didn't tell her to get her ass out this line with all that shit? You know, I'm like, this is an express line. And this woman had a cart full. You got 8 people lined up because you let her through here with 50 million grocery items. And now, you know, you breaking store policy, allegedly. And it's like, hey, you don't run this bitch. Shut your ass up. You have to just take that it will take care of itself. That's, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. Oof, but okay.
All right.
Yeah, I guess being offended by the behavior of others is basically saying, oh, I give you all the power to regulate my emotions and how I experience the world. I mean, the reality is people are going to do what they do. And as I said earlier, you either choose to be in relationship with them going further or you don't.
Yeah.
And if you do choose to be in relationship with them, or it's kind of hard to terminate relationship with them, then you do have to develop this ability to say, that's just who they are and it ain't got shit to do with me. It's something I'm having to put up with, but you know, now when people kind of like cause me to be delayed in different ways, I just take it as an opportunity to stop and breathe, because chances are I'm not doing it.
Yeah,
because I'm running.
Yeah, you're not relaxed, so you know.
Yeah, I'm doing A to B and then B to C and then C to D, and you know, my day should not be a connect the dots drawing. It should be a lived experience with twists and turns and climbs and drops and swoops and all that other stuff, and maybe a loop-de-loop here and there. So, yeah. But what is number 12? Because we have gone beyond our goal of which we should have known was not going to happen.
Yeah,
anyway.
Not with this many.
Not with this. Yeah.
Don't live in the past. Be present. And
well,
yes. So when we find it difficult to forgive, often it's because we are not living in the present. Instead, we assign more importance to the past. We assign a good portion mm-hmm. of our energy and attention lamenting the good old days that are gone forever as the reason why we can't be happy and fulfilled today. So this goes back to what I had said earlier, that you know, I still resent those two people that I used to work for. And mm-hmm. and kind of what you said, you know, if I'm still thinking about them, then I'm not really living in the present, you know.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, the person that I said, you know, this one person can go back 10, 20, 30 years, stuff that's happened, and, you know, that person is not living in the present. And I, in a sense, I'm probably letting that person drag me back because, you know, prevent me
from... You probably didn't see it the way they did.
Yeah, so...
And I think the flip side of this is when something happens in the present, you can't... It doesn't start a domino effect on the future. The catastrophizing that we do that feeds the anxiety and the anger, that doesn't do us any favors either. That is not our friend.
That's
true. You know, we have to... Yeah, we can't get sucked into that rabbit hole either. Because, again, that's all manufactured in your head. It's like, yeah, if you are late to a job interview, there's a good chance you may not get that job.
Yeah, but you can't blame the traffic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to say to yourself, okay, so at the very least, you have to break it down and, like, what happened today? Normally, it would have taken me an hour to get here. I gave myself an hour and a half to get here. I don't know what else. I mean, I guess I could have left 2 hours earlier. But at a certain point, that's probably a bit excessive. Maybe when I hit the unexpected traffic, I could have called ahead and said, hey, this is what's going on. I'm en route. I'm probably going to be about 10 minutes late. And hopefully that would demonstrate to them the thoughtfulness you would, you know, that you would demonstrate if you are hired.
Considerate, yeah.
Yeah, you know, but it's like, yeah, you can't get stuck in the regret and dealing with the past on that level, but you also have to be very careful about manufacturing a future that does not exist.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. You know, so... Yeah, so I think... I don't know what else we could say about step 12.
Yeah, that one's pretty self-explanatory, I think.
Okay. Step 13. Embrace your dark times. Whew. In a universe that's an intelligent system with a divine creative force supporting it, there can simply be...
No accidents.
As tough as it is to acknowledge, you had to go through what you went through in order to get where you are today, and the evidence is that you did. Well, damn. There
yeah.
it is. What else can be said? It's, yeah, I mean, and he even lists stuff here. Dark times, accidents, tough episodes, breakups, periods of impoverishment, illnesses, abuses, and broken dreams. Well, you know, yeah. Those are dark times.
Those are things, yeah. And I do like this because I think it does, I mean, it does help you focus that, okay, well, if I didn't go through that, I would not be in this place today. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you've come through it and you've come out the other side, then,
yeah,
you know, even though it's tough at the time, you went through it for a reason. You know, and hopefully you learned something or you discovered something and that can help you in the future, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think your hubby and I were having a conversation about that one day, just this idea of the stuff we've, you know, that we've come through, and just because I said to him, I was like, how do you look at the past? And you know, and he's still, I would say, like a lot of us, still in the process of reconciling with it, reframing it as needed, you know, to really understand how we got to where we are. And he said something that was just very, very poignant. And, you know, he's just like, I'm grateful for where I've been. I don't like it. It's like, you know, basically he's like, that shit wasn't cool.
No.
But it got me here and I love being here. And I said, yeah, that is. You know, and I said, so can you, how does that help you to reframe? He's like, well, I haven't really gotten to reframing yet. I said, well, be bold when you're ready and take that step. I was like, you will find reframing is quite interesting. And so I don't know, it's just that whole thing of just because to embrace, you have to embrace the dark times to appreciate the light and the sweetness of now.
Yeah, you do.
I feel like, yeah, if you've just lived this charmed life and you've not really had to suffer or struggle, and whatever that means, because struggle and suffering have different connotations depending on your SES, you know. A rich person struggles, in my mind, I'm like, that ain't shit. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, and they can't fathom what I've been through.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and, but it's like, step 14. You know? It's like, refrain from judgment. You can't judge it. You just got to simply, you know, accept it for what it is to you. So now that I've stepped on your step 14,
No, that's okay.
Did you want to add any more on that, you know, in terms of refraining from judgment?
You know, I think this is another one that I've gotten better at. Not perfect, of course, but I think I'm, you know, again, I need to, the places I need to improve, again, when I'm talking about the people on the escalator, on the stairs, or the people in the supermarket who go into the wrong lines or whatever. I think, this has become an observer. You know, when you stop judging and simply become an observer, you'll know inner peace. I've been told I'm an observer. I didn't really see it that way. But in a sense, now that I'm, you know, I was told that, I don't know, maybe like 15 years ago. It says, "Oh, you're an observer. You kind of sit back, you're quiet, but you observe what's going on." And so when this says that, I thought, you know what? I think they're right. Now I could kind of see it. So I think it's helping me be less judgmental. Now, again, not fully. I mean, I don't know. I still have some of it, but I think. So I think for me, this is one that I'm actually better at. But I think it's hard. Again, it's hard to not judge and not criticize. And, you know, again, that person that I was referring to, this person, I mean, to me, the only thing that I really know about them is their critiques of what other people are doing. And
that's true.
So to me, that's on the extreme. I don't know what their goals are. I don't know what their dreams are. I don't know. Are they dating? Are they, you know, what? I don't know anything besides of what their critiques are, what everyone else is doing. And so it's just weird. So I'm not there, but I'm not 100% not being judgmental either. So I don't know if that makes any sense or not, but...
Well, and you know, I had, I guess it was dinner with a good friend of ours who told me that I'd be much happier if I stopped judging everything around me. And I said, I am not, James. And I was informed that I was living in a fantasy world. And also told that it would be my relationships with folks that were kind of prickly and a little standoffish would improve tremendously if I stopped judging. And I have to say that that has been true.
Okay, like, well, they were right.
Yeah, I mean, because I was sitting, I was like, you know, I had to come to the realization of, yeah, bitch, you judgy. First of all, you are very judgy, and that's just part of your personality makeup. But you don't have to be judgy about everything. You know, this, it's like, as a scientist, I can be judgy. That's what I'm supposed to be. I have to make decisions and I have, you know, discern things. But first and foremost, I'm an observer. And so if I just stop there in my relationships with people, if they do things that I don't like or they have personality quirks that I'd rather not deal with, it is much easier to be in a harmonious relationship with them if I resist the urge to judge them and what they do. I, you know, because it's not like these relationships are going to fall apart. or that I'm going to cast them away. It's not that damn serious, but it is just like, you know, pet peeves and annoyances and things like that. Yeah. And it's like you, when you do that, at least for me, when I stopped judging, it allowed me to kind of perceive things in a much wider way that I could see, okay, there's some nefarious things that might be part of this, but there are also some really good things that are part of this. And I'm not going to be naive and just eliminate all the nefarious things, but it's a balance. I have to be willing to say, you know, yeah, this is some shady shit here. However, this person is really trying to love me the best way they know how. So you can't tell people they're not allowed to love you. That's just... And I don't know if that's evil, but it certainly would have to be part of the definition. It's one of those other philosophical questions I've been pondering lately. What is evil? Particularly through the lens of my theology. What is evil? But we're not getting into that right now. Are we on to 15 then?
I think so. So 15 is send love. So I think he's kind of saying whatever your, I think it's like you have to radiate a certain thing. You have to be nice. You have to, I don't know. I mean, just again, not judging, not criticizing, not holding resentments, not, thinking about living in the past, not, and all these things. I think you will just be able to show, you know, have a positive attitude, you know, and you kind of exude that kindness and forgiveness, and I just think, you know, I think that's what I get he's saying. That's how my take on it.
Yeah, because I think at a big, I would say, the evolving core of my worldview is certainly one of love, and it allows me to see the good intentions of within a person that I might not like, and I would say that's definitely a more preferable way to go through the world and through a lifetime, is seeing the best in folks, even if they don't always want to show it to you or do show it to you. It's, you know, sometimes they fall short of showing their loving side. You know, I think about the scene in Kill Bill 2 when the bride is talking with Bill out in front of the wedding chapel, and she's like, you know, your loving side, and that was always your best side. I always liked that side the most. And she's saying this to this guy who was a cold-blooded killer, you know, and who in about 5 minutes from that time was about to put a bullet in her head. You know, it's like, you know, you're sitting here like she knows who he is, but she also loves him, and she sees that other side that he doesn't show the world. And so, you know, it kind of cost her some cranial tissue. But she was willing to be vulnerable in that way. She really, you know, because he even said at one point, did you think me, a cold-blooded killer, was not capable of what I did? And he was like, did it really surprise you? And she's like, could you do what you did? Of course. But never did I think you would do it to me. And I was just like, well, damn. You know? You know, and she's just like, yeah, she's like, I know you can do this shit. I've watched you kill people for years. You know, but I never thought you would do me like this. So, yeah, it's just, so love allows you to see the entirety of a person. And sometimes it can blind you to the wicked things they might do. But it still allows you to see their humanity. And I think that's really important. And it allows you to see their flaws. And so it's easier to forgive someone when you recognize that what they may do is not necessarily directed at you specifically. It's just part of their nature. And they made a unfortunate choice or they gave in to a certain situation that allowed them to unleash that on you. So, I don't know. I will end my comments there with forgiveness. but, you know, it's a gift not only to other people, but
to yourself.
Whether you're forgiving yourself or somebody else, it is the best gift you can give yourself. That stress and anxiety that is not sitting on your shoulders and squeezing your heart, it's freeing. And it can be hard. You can feel like a sucker when you first do it. Be like, because they did so-and-so, and I'm just supposed to just let that go? It's like, yeah, you really are. Because they're not doing it anymore. They did it that one time, or they did it X number of times over the years, and now they're not. And you can't act like they still are. Now, you can forgive, but don't forget. Always got to be aware and protect yourself. Be open, but protect yourself as well. Be mindful of what could be coming your way. So I think that wraps our main topic.
It does.
So, you know, again, if you guys have some things that you'd like to hear us talk about, or just, you know, some things that you love to talk about and you want to hear how we approach it, or just find ways to draw crazy stories out of us, because there are many in the vault, shoot us an email, sexualhealingpod@gmail.com. You can also reach out to us on our social media platforms. We're on Twitter @podsexual. And, website, sexualhealingpod.com. And, you know, you can also write comments on an episode on Apple Podcasts and, what is it, Google Podcasts or whatever they call it
Google
now.
Play. Spotify. Is it Google Play?
Maybe. I don't know if it's Google Play. They keep changing the damn branding. But I can't say just Google, because Apple changed their branding too for podcasts. So, yeah. So there are plenty of ways to reach out to us. We try to keep an eye on them all. But, yeah, so that concludes our main topic and our Ask Your Brista and
Help Your Brother
Help
Out.
Your Brother Out segments. We'll return next week. We're going to give you a twofer in that one, because this one has run a little long, and we want to respect everyone's time.
Yeah.
And again, you know, if you got that question you're dying to ask, or you got some mess you want us to respond to or react to, do share.
Yes.
We're open to all the foolishness.
Yes. If you need some help forgiving, like we just talked about.
Yes.
The man who cheated on you or did whatever.
Any parting words?
Just my usual. Be good to yourself. Be good to everybody else. Forgiveness, I guess, is a gift. This is gift giving season, so give yourself the gift of forgiveness. I'm certainly going to try to do that. Do the same. You know.
Mm-hmm. Forgiveness, the gift that keeps on giving.
Yep.
All right, and you know how I say: be a blessing in them sheets, and don't be a curse in them streets.
Right.
Yes. It has evolved over time. But all right. Y'all be good now. Happy holidays.
All right.
Don't spend too much money.
Yeah.
Practice good financial self-care.
All right. Till next time, everybody.